The Atari ASBIT Podcast.
Live from the Vintage Computer Festival Southeast, somewhere in the lovely state of Georgia, it's Antic, the Atari 8-Bit Podcast. We are in front of a teeming crowd of people. In this episode, we are going to do a couple of interviews with interesting people at VCFSE. There's going to be a quiz show, and we're going to talk about all things Atari. Ready? All right, enough of that. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Brad.
That's us.
That's us.
Oh,
okay. We're on. There's no switch on his. The red circle. Turn the red circle. Excellent.
Now
we can hear
now?
You.
Hello?
That's better.
Oh, hey.
Oh, excellent.
I guess we might have to do some editing, huh?
No, there'll be no editing. This is live.
Live.
All right, so Brad, since this is you're kind of in charge of this whole thing, tell us what's new since the last time we talked.
My best deer in the headlights look doesn't transfer well to podcasting, but right now this is all I've been doing for the past month. So other than VCFSE, I have no news for Atari.
Yeah.
Although I did get in the Atari realm, I did get my ATR 8000 and 8-inch drive is now working, and it's successful.
Well, that's big news.
Yeah, that's news. That's news. It's news that I got it working. That's news.
And you've got them hooked up outside for people to see at the.
Yep,
at your
I have the only Atari 800 in a 5-state area that can run DBase 2.
Wow.
And
that's handy.
And CPM, DBase 2 on CPM. So.
Excellent. All right.
Randy.
My turn, huh?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to mention that I went to Cocoa Fest last weekend. It's not Atari related, so don't hate me for that.
What fest? I didn't hear you.
Cocoa Fest. Yeah, in Lombard, Illinois. And although there were no Ataris there, it was a fun show. A lot of people showed up for the Tandy color computer. And one of the interesting aspects I thought of that show was the fact they have an auction there, and they sell a lot of Tandy stuff. And that was really interesting. I did pick up a couple of hardware items.
What'd you get?
It's a it's a multi-cart device, basically. You put it on the side of the Tandy, and then you have four slots for other cartridges. And those don't go cheaply on the Cocoa side, so I was happy to get that. I also got to meet Bill LaJudas and Boise Pete there, who are the authors of the Tandy color computer book that had recently come out and we've talked about already on the podcast. So that was great to meet those guys. For some more pertinent Atari news, on the last show I mentioned that Victor Marland had offered to send me an Atari XEGS from the UK. And he did that, and I received it the other day. And it's a PAL system, and I've done nothing more than get it out of the box. And I did read up on how I'll be able to use that. I think I can use my 65XE power supply for that, on the power side. And then as far as displaying PAL, I think there are a lot of the modern monitors will display PAL, so I just have to figure out how to hook it up and get that working. But pretty excited, and I want to thank Victor for doing that. And that's about it for me. How about you, Kevin?
Let's see. The results. I entered this 10 line. There was a 10 line basic programming contest
Right. Put
on by some people in Germany. The Atari No Man show, they had this, so I wrote a couple of programs. Actually, I said I was writing three programs. I submitted two of them, and the third I decided I just didn't like it enough and didn't submit it. So the result, they had their show, and they had their awards, and I tied for 17th place.
Okay. Not bad.
So no, it was terrible, actually, because there was like, they had first, second, third, and fourth place, and then like 10 fifth place winners, because people who tied for fifth, and then like everyone else, like the other 15 people, were tied for 17th place. So I think that's a nicer way of thinking of it than I came in last. But I was really happy with my program, so you know, it was cool. And I just haven't really programmed in BASIC in a long time, and I had never programmed in Turbo BASIC XL before, which was a new to me language that was pretty exciting. So my other non-Atari news is a guy in Portland on eBay was selling a Tron arcade game, stand-up arcade game, which had never been like in public. It had like always been privately owned and never been in an arcade getting abused by kids and stuff. And I bought it, and now it's in my garage. And I haven't actually had time to play a whole game yet because I just came back from a trip and then I had to take this trip here. So anyway, I have this lovely, full-size, beautiful Tron game that I've never really played yet.
That's a lame excuse.
I know, it's a terrible excuse. I had to sleep, I had to pack, I know. I'm a terrible geek.
You're a terrible nerd.
Yes, exactly. So that's my news of what we've been up to. So okay, as we were going around last few hours of the show, we found interesting people who had Atari things to talk about, and we wrangled them here, and we thought we'd interview them. Serge, want to come up here and go first?
Hey guys.
Hey.
How are you?
My microphone.
All right.
What, you're not going to talk?
Brad is not going to talk. All right. So Serge, we talked, you didn't bring it this time, but last year you had an amazing booth with Atari boxes of all like just brand new looking boxes of Atari stuff.
Yeah.
And then you didn't bring it back this time.
No,
so.
not this time. I really don't want to damage the boxes. You know, that's the first thing. And second, it's just too many of them.
Yeah.
I can't pick one piece, you know, to bring to me.
Right. Hold it a little closer
for the exhibit. Atari has a lot of sentimental value for me personally because it was the first computer I ever owned. You know, and was first computer back in Soviet Union, and it was very hard to buy any peripherals for it. And I remember how proud I was when I got first tape recorder, because before that, all my programs that were written in BASIC, I had to have hard copies by writing down the source code.
Because you didn't have a cassette drive or
no,
anything?
No, nothing. Just like that. And then, and ever since then, I've completely fallen in love with that machine. I mean, I've studied it inside and out, and ever since then I was hooked, and I'm collecting those. Mm-hmm. Luckily, eBay had, back when I started collecting them, had been the source of most of my collection.
But it's not your only collection, because you've got out there a bunch of other things today.
Tell us about what you're showing this year. Yeah, I also have several pieces of MSX machines. They were popular in the school where, in my school, I mean, back in Soviet Union, for whatever reason, they just had that huge contract with Yamaha, they supplied a whole bunch of classes, computer classes for schools in Russia, so that's also had some value for me, that's why I'm collecting those.
I'm not done yet. Questions or? I feel like I'm the only one asking questions here.
No, I just thought the collection you brought here was really neat that you had last year with all the boxed stuff. I just wonder how you were able to find so many things in their original boxes like that.
Very hard to find.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I bet you had to pay good money for that, too.
I was lucky. At one point, there was a huge warehouse. I think it was on, I might be wrong, but it was on the West Coast. I think the guy was selling.
Oh,
he bought. You
X Atari
know.
Stock.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I bought a bunch of stuff from him. The rest I was just picking on eBay. Sometimes you had to buy three or four pieces that goes with one piece that you really want, and then you have to sell the rest. So, but it was It was interesting.
It's a really neat collection. So
thank you. Thank you.
So you've got the Atari stuff and the MSX stuff. Do you have any other?
No.
That's
no,
it? Those just, are your two big collections.
And I'll probably bring back my Atari stuff next year if we're going to get together again.
Cool.
Yep.
Excellent. All right. Where are you? We didn't ask where you're from. Are you from Brooklyn?
From Russia.
Where do you live?
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Where do you live?
In Alpharetta, here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
Thanks, Serge.
All
right. The next gentleman is somebody I was talking to. He had a display out here, and we just got to talking, and he mentioned the Atari stuff that he had in the past. Mike Douglas, how you doing?
Doing good. Thank you. First of all, I'd like to say thanks to Brad and all these people who did all this work to put this on. This is amazing. I just flew in with one little bag, and all my stuff was here thanks to folks like David Grealish and others that did the moving work. So I appreciate it. This is a great show. Good job, guys.
Yeah, because you came in from Texas, right?
I came in from Texas.
Came a long way.
As miserable as that would be, the flight was smooth, and I didn't have to carry anything. So it's not so bad.
Yeah. All right. So we were talking, and you had mentioned that the Atari was one of your first computers, I believe, if not the first, certainly one of the first. Can you talk about that for a minute, how you got the Atari, what you used it for, that sort of thing?
Sure. I'm actually here displaying Altair equipment,
right,
which, based on my age and time frame and monetary status at the time, I could only look at and drool about. But I had put together enough money by the time the by the time the Ataris were out that I could actually afford one. So yes, Atari was my very first computer. And I'm not a big game player, but of course you could easily play games, and I did get hooked on their Star game, whatever that was. That was pretty fun.
Probably Star Raiders, I assume.
Star Raiders, that sounds right, yeah. But anyway, I did mostly assembly language programming on it, learning to use a 6502, and I had a lot of fun with that. In fact, looking at Kevin's shirt actually reminds me of one of the first things I did. And that, remember,
their shirt has a giant Atari logo on it.
It is the giant Atari logo. And remember, they had an ad where it had the color rainbow scrolling down through it?
Sure.
So I wrote a program that, during the vertical blanking interval interrupt, would go in and update that. So it had flicker, and it was just perfectly smooth. And I submitted that to some magazine way back when. What was that back then?
Antic, Analog.
One of those two, probably.
Anyway, I submitted that. I don't think I won anything, or I would have remembered, right? But no, just seeing that shirt reminded me of that. And then the other thing I really got excited about on this was that it had a floppy drive. And, of course, I heard the sound here when you guys started up, the beep, and then that little buzz at the end. It's, oh, yeah, I remember that.
The iconic sound of the Atari floppy drive.
Yep.
We all know it well. So you said I believe you had written some software as well.
Again, most of it ended up being just for my entertainment, despite the thought that, everybody out here will want this stuff. But it still entertained me, right? But one of them was just I wanted my game cartridges all on the floppy so that I could just boot this floppy and from a menu pick a game I wanted to play rather than go hunt down another cartridge. But don't blame them. You want to protect your software. The software, all the cartridges protected themselves. They knew they were going to be in ROM, and the general protection mechanism was somewhere in the code it wrote to itself so that if you happened to try to run this out of RAM, it would clobber itself and not work, because the cartridge overlaid RAM when you stuck it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a budding electrical engineer while I was in the computer science programming, so I wanted to fiddle with hardware as well. So one of the very first boards I ever built was a board I could stick into the ROM socket on an Atari that, when a write occurred to that address space, it blocked it. So it essentially turned RAM into ROM where the cartridge was. So I put all my cartridges onto floppies, and I forget how, you could fit a lot of those on one floppy, it surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
I could easily have 5, 10, I remember the menu was pretty long, so I could just boot any of my programs right off a floppy and just have a few floppies and have all the cartridges available.
What was the name of your program?
No, this was actually a little hardware that I built.
Okay, sorry.
And I showed it at some users group here in Atlanta, because I was in Atlanta at that time. I haven't been in Atlanta since 84, but some users group not far from Georgia Tech I went to, I remember. And it was a pretty full room, so it was a popular computer at that time.
Did you actually sell this device?
No. It was just one up. It would be considered a bad device today, because, of course, you could pirate software.
Right.
But honestly, the main reason was, number one, prove I could do it. Number two, to get a lot of my stuff onto floppies. I can't say that I don't have somebody else's cartridge. I don't even remember. But I didn't play that much. I really didn't care much as I cared about, I want to build this and watch it work. And I want to see that this works on the floppy drive as well. So it was a lot of fun and learned a lot.
Very nice. I think I asked you this, but you don't currently have an Atari in your collection?
Oh, yeah, that just kills me. I come to a show like this, and I was already disappointed I let this stuff go 10 years ago. But now you guys have made me feel really bad about it. Thank you very much.
Hey, that's what we're here for.
So, no, it makes me sick because it sat in an attic for so long, and it couldn't have been more than 10 years ago. I think I literally threw it in the trash.
Oh.
However, the power supply for the floppy disk lives on. And so does the AC adapter that was the power supply for the 800, because those I thought I should save. Okay. I have a whole box full of AC adapters. But what's good about those are AC output instead of DC. At least one of the two was. And those are hard to find, but my son's Moog synthesizer or whatever it was needed one. I said, I've got one for you. So he's got a 40-year-old power supply, or however old it is, 30-year-old power supply, working his new synthesizer.
Okay. You guys have any questions?
No, so you don't have that hardware anymore that you built?
Every bit of it's gone. It just kills me, and you guys, like I said, it helped me remember
the podcast that has been making you feel bad about your really choices since 2012.
I'm very tempted to go buy one now.
And, you better.
And relive this.
Yes. Yeah. Just don't throw it away again.
Yeah. Except my computer room is running out of room, so my wife won't give me another room, so I may be stuck.
I hear you.
But again, thanks to all you guys for all the great work here. This has been a lot of fun so far.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike. We appreciate your story.
Thank you very much. All right. I'll take that. All right. Our contestants, my three contestants, please come up here. Next, we're going to do a quiz show. There are prizes for this quiz show. Come on. There's three of you. David Grealish, where'd you go? You're supposed to be up here. There was somebody else. There was a third. I need a third contestant who knows something about old computers up here. I told you were a contestant.
Somebody.
There are prizes, and if you old game, come on. I need another person. Please.
Come on.
All right.
We'll pick someone.
That's right. I will pick some. Excellent. Okay.
David's here.
That's right. So we have a minute. Please say your name and where you're from.
Hey, I'm Michael Sternberg from Arlington, Texas.
And I'm David Grealish from Johns Creek, Georgia.
And I'm Mike Douglas again from Saxey, Texas.
Excellent. So we've got Michael, David, and Mike. And we're going to do some. Okay, first of all, there's a couple of little prizes. And here's how it's going to work. I'm going to show you my awesome prizes. First of all, the worst prize is a copy of my book, Terrible Nerd, which I will sign for you. Some of you already have those. So the winner will get to choose the prize they want, and then second winner will get what's left over. Second is this record album that I had created a few months ago. This is one of a kind until I create another one. This is a plastic record album, and on one side of it is the Mule song, the Mule theme song, and the other side of it is the Atari demo music that we use as our. It's a 33. It's a clear 33 RPM record.
I want to be a contestant now.
No,
I want one.
One of a kind, and. So that's prize option number two. And prize option number three, I knew I had these. I had to dig all around my basement to find them. This is a postcard from Atari, with the return address on 1265 Burgess Avenue in Sunnyvale, California. It's a postcard. You open it up and it says, "Your resume has been carefully reviewed by interested members of our staff. I regret that at the present time, we do not have an opening for a candidate with your particular qualifications." So this is an actual postcard you might have gotten if Atari didn't want to hire you back in the 1980s. So that is the third prize. You cannot be hired by Atari.
Yes, a rejection letter is your prize.
Right, a rejection letter. Here's some paper and a pen.
That's what I need.
Michael. David. All right. And for you, you can just write big because we want the audience to be able to see. All right. So I've given everyone paper and a pen, and I have my answer sheet here. and we are going to play a few samples of games, and you're going to write down what they are and try not to let your people cheat or your other contestants cheat off you. Can I hear sound file number one, please? Starting easy. All right, just write down in large friendly letters the name of that game. Michael, well, we're waiting until everyone's finished. Everyone in? All right. Michael's written Pac-Man. Mike has written Pac-Man. David wrote Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong. Wow. Okay. So Mike and Michael each get a point. Brad, can you somehow keep track of score?
Yeah.
There's paper. I don't know where a pen is for you. Just, there you go. I also might give points for creative wrong answers, so. I am capricious that way. Sound file number two, please. Anybody in the audience have it? You guys look like you can write your answer. Wait till everyone in. See what's happening here. Okay. Mike Douglas has written Tetris. David has written Donkey Kong. You could save paper and just keep using the same sheet of paper, David. And Michael has written Ghosts and Goblins. Good guess. Anybody know the answer out there? That was Gyrus, right, from the Peanut Gallery. That was Gyrus. Okay. That's all right. So no points for anybody. Yes. All right, number three, please. I just picked all the games that I like to play, so. These guys look stumped. All right. Alley Cat, no. I was going to do that one later, but now I'm not. Michael said Alley Cat. David wrote nothing. And Mike wrote Munsters. No. The answer was, anybody? Zeppelin. You should have been up here.
I played no video game.
All right, number four, please. Come join us. Okay.
I play lots of video games.
They're thinking. They're racking their brains. Michael has written Mule. No, it's not Mule. David has got nothing. He didn't write Donkey Kong. Didn't even write Donkey Kong. And Mike Douglas wrote Super Mario. Where's our ringer in the audience?
Ball
Blazer. Right. That's right.
What?
You should be up here. What's your name?
Pete.
Pete should have been up here.
Bring up.
Come on, Pete.
Tag team.
Bring up. Yeah, come on, Pete and Mike. Come on, join up. All right. Number five, please.
Somebody ought to get this one. Somebody should get this one.
I've been playing this one all morning out there. Michael, Jumpman, right, he needed the hint. David, nothing. Pete, Mike just left? It's just Pete now. Okay, Mike has been replaced by Pete, who wrote Jumpman. Mike is now left and he's gone into the audience and he's replaced himself with Pete. So Pete/Mike and Michael each get a point. All right, and one more, last one, number six, please. Well, number six. This one's particularly hard, and I almost didn't do it. We'll see. Michael wrote Alley Cat again, and he got it right this time. David wrote nothing. And Pete/Mike wrote nothing. Okay. Oh, man, that's a good game. Okay, all right. Three or four random trivia questions about Atari things. Again, write down your answers, and we'll see. The word Atari comes from what board game? The word Atari was originated in what board game, which Nolan Bushnell liked to play? They're thinking. Michael wrote Go, which is correct. David didn't even write Donkey Kong. He wrote nothing. And Pete wrote Go. And Mike is out in the audience staring at
Go Pete.
He's now rooting for Pete. All right. I can't read my writing. What was the first computer to sell 1 million units? The first personal computer to sell 1 million units. Michael writes, Atari VCS, ? David wrote Commodore 64, which is the right answer, and Pete wrote VIC-20, which is... So David gets a point, and I just threw in a Commodore one just to... because Commodore's sometimes okay. Sometimes okay. Okay, so... the Atari 400 and 800, I'm changing this question up from what I'd written. The Atari 400 and 800 had internal product code names, Colleen and Candy. Who were they named for? Who were Colleen and Candy? We all ready? Hot secretaries. Yes, Michael has it. The answer, the hot secretaries. Strippers, David, no, get your mind out of the gutter. Woman who worked at Atari. Yes, you all get a point because strippers made me laugh. That's all good. And it seems like the kind of thing that would get you sued nowadays, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm going to name this product after you because you're hot. And it's like, either that person's going to sue you for sexual harassment or the other secretary who's not hot is going to sue you. It's just, all right. Okay, I have three or four, depending on how the audio works out, last questions, and then we'll be done. Who is this, number 9, audiophile 9, who is this extolling the virtues of the Atari computer?
You know, this part of telling you about the new Atari XL home computers that I get to try them out. They sent me everything. I feel like a kid in a computer store. And the best thing about what you see here is that everything works with everything else. In other words, it's a system. But a system that's no big deal to use. Look.
Michael writes Alan Alda, correct. David wrote Alan Alda, and Pete wrote Alan Alda. They all got it right. Excellent. Point for everybody. Woohoo!
I was going to say Hawkeye.
Audio file number 10, please. For this one, I want to know who it is and what they're selling. What specific computer they are hawking. So 2 points if you can get them both.
Looking for a powerful home computer? This is the one. With 16K memory, it can take you a long way. Want a computer with a lot of software? Oh, yeah, this is the one.
Pudding.
Pudding? Brett says pudding. Michael says Bill Cosby for the TI-44. Okay. Oh, you get 1 point for that. David, Bill Cosby for the TI-99-4A. Yes, 2 points. And Pete writes Bill Cosby for the TI-99-4A, given the...
44.
Yeah, okay. TI-44. Calculator? That was the... All right. Again, another two-point question. Who is it, and what specific computer are they selling?
Why buy just a video game from Atari or Intellivision? Invest in the Wonder Computer of the 1980s for under $300. Unlike games, it has a real computer keyboard. The whole family can learn computing at
home. David really should know this because he used this exact commercial in his presentation earlier today.
It's the Wonder Computer of the 1980s.
It's got a real keyboard, yeah. If you had gone to David's presentation, you would know. Michael writes ?
It's the Z.
David writes William Shatner for the VIC-20. And Pete wrote Commodore, somebody for Commodore 64. All right, so David is the only one who gets points, 2 points. All right.
Hey, this is amazing. I thought David was getting smoked. We now have a tied game.
Really? What's the score? Let's
7-7.
Really?
Everybody has 7 points.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. David surged ahead with these 2-point answers.
All right, we have only one question left. Sound file number 12.
It's such a marvelous machine that it would be quite unfair to compare it with another computer. So we've decided to compare it with this fish. Now, the fish weighs 22 pounds, which makes it extremely portable. It will fit snugly on the passenger seat of your car or when traveling by train on the luggage rack. By coincidence, the computer weighs exactly the same. So, nothing to choose between them so far.
You get half.
All right, they look, some of them look stumped. They're writing. Michael writes, John Cleese, which is correct. 1 point. For the BBC Micro, no. Good guess, though. John Cleese for Compaq, writes David. 1.5 points, because it was the Compaq Portable 2 computer. I'll give you 1.5 points for that. And Pete writes, John Cleese, but didn't know the computer. All right, what's the score look like, Brad? What's the final tally?
David Grealish pulls ahead and wins by 0.5 point.
Wow. Excellent. Good job, David. Cool. What's that?
I was going to say K-Pro at first.
He was going to say K-Pro, and he didn't. All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
You'll get your prizes later. What prize are you going to pick, David?
The record.
The record. Excellent. You can
of course.
Take your record. I'll get with the other two of you later with your prizes. Yeah. Get off the stage. We have to finish this.
All right. Vanna?
What's next?
If you listen to the podcast, you can find out how it's made.
That's right. All right. Hey, we've got a few minutes left. Any questions about Atari, podcasting, anything at all? Because we have 12 minutes to fill. So if you are any questions for us, we want to answer them.
Well, I was just wondering if you guys, over time, have gotten more comfortable behind the microphone. Like, were you really nervous at the beginning and then got more accustomed to podcasting over time?
Brad, you start?
I'll go. Actually, yes. In the beginning, I had a hard time getting two syllables together, and I've worked up to three, so I'm getting better at it. So figure by episode 312, I'll actually be able to make an entire sentence without stopping and pausing and collecting my thoughts. But yeah, no, it's in the beginning, it was quite scary to do something like this. And it's actually now just becoming boring. A whole lot of fun.
Randy?
I'd be lying if I didn't say that I wasn't still a little nervous every time we podcast. We have about 1,400 people that download it every month. So, you know, knowing the 1,400 people are listening to me talk can be a little intimidating, but I was doing the Floppy Days podcast before this one, so that helped a little bit. And I think it's definitely a lot of fun.
I never felt particularly nervous, but I think that we've gotten better as a team working together.
With the interaction, yeah.
When we started it, we didn't really know each other, although I think we'd all met, but we didn't really know each other. And
right.
Just the interaction's getting better. And recently, I mean, we kind of changed recently our editing philosophy. Before, we were editing everything at every and we were really trying to keep it tight. Because I didn't want to waste people's time with a lot of dead air and just ums and things. But that was taking forever to do the editing. So mm-hmm. I think in the last episode, we started just like, it is what it is. And I think that has really allowed us all to relax and just know it is what it is. And it takes a lot less time to edit, too. So.
I listen to a whole lot of podcasts on my commute, and I find over time I don't want to call it stream of consciousness because that's not right, but the no edit podcasts, once the crew or whoever, you know, gets in their groove on the no edit podcasts, I'm finding I like those better because they just seem to flow. And the highly edited podcasts, and I've listened to several of those, you can tell after a while where they stop and where they edit, and it can get jumpy, especially some of them, they go back and re-record days later.
Yeah.
And
you can totally tell when they do that.
Yeah,
sounds
so
different.
So I like, and it's easier on us to do it, you know, in one take or.
Yeah, we all enjoy doing the podcast. We don't enjoy as much editing the podcast. So, you know, we want to keep it going. So we want to do what we enjoy.
So you guys have had some really stellar interviews, like Chris Crawford, and I apologize for forgetting the name of the publisher of Antic, the original magazine. But sure, I was just wondering, sure. Is that do you have some sort of tie with them already, or just call them up out of the blue and they are willing to talk? How does that work when you're trying to wrangle these kind of all-stars of the Atari community?
As for me, you know, I've been doing my Atari websites for a long time, and so over the course of years, I have emailed Jim Caparel of Antic and Chris Crawford, you know, years ago, and I might check my email and find, yeah, I emailed this guy in 1999 or something. So it's not like we're best friends or anything, but sometimes, yeah, there's a previous connection, and sometimes, yeah, I just email someone out of the blue and say, hey, we're doing this thing. People still care about this thing you did, and they're happy to talk about it. Randy, you've done some interviews?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this the other day. I mean, Kevin's really been focusing, it seems, more on the people who wrote software in the day or were involved in the day, which is great. And I know those people can be hard to get a hold of. I've been focused more on the people who are involved today and that maybe run, or, you know, like Kurt Vendel, who wrote the history book and that sort of thing. And I think those people are probably easier to get a hold of, and they're probably more willing to talk. But, you know, we try to have a good mix of interviews on the show.
Question, come on up. I'm much too lazy to walk the 10 feet.
Since there are three of you doing a podcast, when you guys are recording, are you doing it audio only, or do you guys have webcams watching each other so you don't wind up stepping on each other when you're doing the recording?
It's audio only. We just continue to step on each other, or I don't say anything for long periods of time to prevent that.
Skype charges for
video.
For video multi-person chat, and we've talked about using Google Hangouts, and we've just never done it because what we're doing sort of works, so we're lazy, I think.
Well, I think RCR tried that for a while, and I'm not so sure it worked out very well, so as far as the video.
Probably should try it one day and just see what happens.
Yeah.
And because Google's constantly messing with their system, so I guess that's a good thing and a bad thing.
And David in the audience could probably talk to that more, being involved with RCR. But
you want to talk about that, David? Video and coming up.
Just about when we did the video part.
Should we even bother?
No, I mean, it didn't necessarily bring any value add to it. It was kind of fun. And we attracted some people that would watch it live and then chat and do stuff. But it wasn't popular enough to really justify it. After I left the show, I know then they finally just stopped it.
Did that cost to use that service?
No.
Okay.
No. It did make it easy to edit it or whatever. Because when we were done, we could stop it and then you could just download the audio out of it and do some quick editing, but the quality wasn't as good either, though, versus Skype. So,
I mean, I know personally, I'm more likely to listen to an audio podcast than a video because
and most people did.
I'm in my car. I can't watch a video.
And we had to constantly be careful of trying to do anything too visual or whatever that would then alienate people who are just audio only listeners.
Yeah.
But maybe if we'd had some big, huge return, you know, people like 100 people showing up to watch it, then we might have probably kept doing it.
Yeah.
But we didn't.
Thanks, David.
Time for another question? No? All right, our huge crowd here. Unless you guys have anything else you want to say about the show, about anything before we wrap it up?
Not really. It's been fun doing it live. Nobody threw any tomatoes or anything. I appreciate that.
No, we'll have to do this again in, a month? Do it live?
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Let's go to Kansas Fest and do it.
Or we'll do it live like you do Floppy Days Live, recorded in a live studio.
Yeah. You like that line?
Yeah. All right. Hold on. You have been listening to Antic live at the VCFSC. Thank you to our huge live crowd. To contact us, you can email us at
antic@ataripodcast.com
or on Twitter at
ataripodcast.com. .com. Just at Atari Podcast.
Thanks all very much. Yay. See you next month.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.